of war we lost.
Well, don't worry about it. We're famous for losing the wars we win.
Baghdad! Don't underestimate Baghdad!
A city rich in romantic oriental lore.
Baghdad! You must investigate Baghdad!
And learn a few of the facts you never knew before.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets.
Welcome back to Cloak and Dagger. I'm your host, Lenny Bloom, along with my co-host, the great American Judge Buster, Sherman H. Skolnick. Sherman is still under assignment in the hospital, folks. He's still under the weather. I spoke to his brother. His brother sounded very upbeat when it came to Sherman's condition and sounded like he was interested in helping him get back into shape. So he'll be back real soon. He sends his regards to all listeners. Anyway, this is our regular www.cloakanddagger.de Ghost Troop briefing. Joining me on the line is Captain May. Welcome back to Cloak and Dagger, Captain May.
Lenny, it's always a pleasure to come back to the Cloak and talk about the home situation with the home station.
Yeah, now listen, we're hearing all sorts of rumors about hand-to-hand combat in the information world, and certainly the information food chain is terribly tainted, as you've pointed out. We need a lot of counter-propaganda today. What's happening?
Well, in the info world generally, it's clear that more and more the resources of the federal United States government are going toward fighting the info war. In the last couple of weeks, I suppose, I found out that there are counter-blog operations have now come in. So that for average people who are doing blogs who are questioning things like the policy in Iraq or Afghanistan or the war in general, they get blog comments from military, public affairs people who are paid and sent in with instructions to, they say, to edify, inform, and clarify, but I think it's probably more like to bully, be belligerent, and befuddle.
Yes.
So you've got counterintelligence operations going on against the Internet in that sense. In the last month, we found out that the quadrennial military budget that's being approved, or has been approved, I don't know which, is going to have substantial increases for my old branch of public affairs, civil affairs, and for special forces. All of those, of course, being the exact services that you'd need to increase so that you can increase the level of control you have over your own society. Those are quasi the first two, public affairs and civil affairs. Public affairs being information strictly, civil affairs basically being acting in lieu of government powers when government, or in lieu of government agencies when government agencies have been suspended. These are things that are, you might say these are the dictator's friends.
Well, that's true, but the ones that they disguise it, though, Captain. So, for instance, the Ministry of Hate is disguised and is called the Pentagon, and then there's the Ministry of Love and the Ministry of...
We're going Orwellian here, right?
And what?
We're using Orwellian. We're talking Orwell right now.
Well, it's the most accurate. That's what's going on, isn't it?
Oh, exactly. No. I guess the thing that makes all of us blush in the info war is the idea that we're about 60 years too late, and Orwell already said it all.
Well, the Ministry of Lies, it's easy to find in the United States, the Ministry of Lies.
That's true. Well, that's just the media.
It's called the Ministry of Truth.
Right, Many True.
Many True, exactly.
That's right, the Ministry of Truth. Well, that's the corporate media, which, of course, has become a de facto branch of the government. You know, it's interesting, Lenny, the system of American governance as conceived of by the founders was that you had three equal and separate branches, executive, legislative, and judicial, and then you had a fourth that kind of underlay them all, and that was the Jeffersonian free press, the thing that was really more important than all the others, the thing that without which there couldn't be the others. And now what we find is that in American government today, we really have one branch of government, the executive, and the media has become embedded with the executive, and there's a yin-yang situation between the media and the executive where the courts and Congress really are just second-rate players in a game that's not even theirs anymore.
Yes, certainly the Knights of the Round Table, Sir Henry Kissinger, Sir Colin Powell, Sir George Bush, Sir Brent Scowcroft are doing their duties as Knights of the Round Table.
And we find all these organizations that really all the people we're speaking of who have been knighted are pretty much, you know, Council of Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Bilderbergers. You know, these are all people. It's become basically such that rather than have an elective government, what we've done in effect is we've kept the impression in the public mind of an elective government, but what we really have is a self-perpetuating aristocracy.
They occasionally bring someone new in
to keep new blood coming into the aristocracy. I guess you'd say the best argument one could make is that it's a dynamic aristocracy.
Basically a committee with briefcases, but just committees. A committee runs it.
Yeah,
a committee of men and women run it.
One of my mentors, when I first got into the info war, that being when we first invaded Iraq and the Battle of Baghdad happened and was covered up under Jessica Lynch, one of my mentors was a fellow who had been an art history professor of mine in college, who had also been in the German army in World War II. You know, he got orders, he went and defended his homeland, except they called it a fatherland, but basically it was the same system of government. And what he agreed upon at a certain point was that what's happened is that America has really gone the way of Rome, in which we keep the form of a republic because people are still comforted by the idea that we are a republic, but it's just like Augustine post-Julius Rome.
Yeah.
Augustine Rome really was the end of, there was no more republic. Once Augustus took over, the empire was on.
Well, it's,
but
it's,
they still continue to call themselves a republic for another century.
And certainly what supports what you're saying is just go and take a tour of the Congress one day and look at a map, an aerial view of the positional relationships of the way the city's designed, and you can see everything that you're saying is supported by that.
Yeah, well, another thing that supports it is what's happening to our elective offices at the highest level. We've gone, Bush, Clinton, Bush, and probably next Clinton. You know, that sounds like a dual monarchy, man, not a democracy.
Yeah.
Not a republic. I mean, it's an elective monarchy. In fact, it's not even an elective monarchy. The elections themselves are a sham and a facade.
Well, the royal viceroy becomes emperor, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I'd say so exactly. Well, you know, viceroy, of course, is a Latin word that just means in place of a king. So, I think right now it looks to me, let's go ahead and move specifically towards what Ghost Troop has been up to. As most of the people who listen to the quote loyally know, Ghost Troop has been central, key, in preventing the nuclear 911 in Texas City. The most recent case of that being 131, when we gave a nationwide, in fact, an international alarm, and the nuclear 9/11 didn't happen, but the next day the nuclear teams who were supposed to be cleaning up Texas City after it got nuked just happened to be out there, kind of scaring the natives. You know, they realized, oh, my God, it's true. When this event happens, if it does happen, it's, of course, going to be the closure of any pretense of a republic. The police state will be overt then. But I'm almost beginning to hope, Lenny, that what's going to happen is that, or that what has happened, is that we have successfully precluded the Bush dynasty's obliteration of their own state city, Texas City, Texas, and that it may well be that now, if there is to be a nuclear 9/11, the powers that be are thinking they've got to wait until late Bush or until Clinton. But clearly the all-consuming concern of Ghost Troop for the last 2 years, and the one that I hope will be more and more the consuming concern of other people, is that the powers that be, even if they unplug George Bush, and it looks right now they may be forced to do that because Bush is... He has failed so miserably to commit mass homicide on call as he was supposed to. It just because they unplugged Bush doesn't mean they unplugged the scenario.
Well, just because you cut the puppet strings doesn't mean that the puppet master hasn't got other puppets on the stage.
Right. That's why Bush Clinton. I think there's a kind of symmetry and balance to that. So right now, looking at the culture comp broadly, that part of the info war, the part specifically relating to the social issues, which are another part of the distraction that they throw up there to divide and conquer the American people, I think right now it would be my guess that the next election is going to be all about Hillary and abortion.
Well, the Roman emperors don't want to give up power. They want to shift it to just their left hand to the right hand. It's a big juggling act.
That's a very good way of expressing it. It's a juggling act. And they've got, I guess you could say, four balls in the air, but two colors, Clinton and Bush. So you got Pa and Sonny Bush, and then you got him and her Clintons, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I just think that's the way they want to go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked, by the way, to see the next election be Hillary versus Condoleezza, for the simple reason that will make the election in the minds of the public all about women's issues and women. And then, of course, the abortion thing. You know, since last month, all of a sudden, one of our state courts, I can't think of which, or rather which state legislature, South Dakota. South Dakota, a red state, has struck down abortion rights as they existed previously in South Dakota. So that's almost on call. Now we've got a situation where that's going to wind up in the Supreme Court, and the Bush-appointed Supreme Court will make a big deal of it, and it may well be that the next election is going to be all about abortion. Which, of course, means nothing. What it means is that instead of the right going crazy to elect Bush, the left's going to go crazy to elect Hillary. But it matters not, because the deeper plan is of course...
Hillary is Bush. Hillary is just Bush's Bush.
Right. Well, the Wicked Witch of the West Wing. She already knows dynastic politics, and more important... she's as implicated as Bill Clinton and all the things that they've done. And that was, of course, the reason that I think Clinton was an ideal interregnum king between the two Bushes, because Clinton couldn't help but to do what he was told to do, because ultimately the media, which, of course, is the same thing as the intelligence services now, the media had the ability to pull him down at will because of all the dirt that was on the guy. In fact, I suspect now, Lenny, that just about every president, everybody who's electable, is electable by virtue of the fact that they have become so compromising of their principles, so compromised by their actions, and so complicit with the media, that there's no difference between any of them.
Well, Big Left, as the wise old sage said, Captain May, Big Left and Big Right at the top are the same guy.
Right. Well, you got it. Two hands going back to the same body. They call themselves left and right, but they all feed the same mouth, the same all-consuming apparatus. So that's where we are. Let's go ahead and talk Iraq for a minute.
Go ahead.
Now, of course, we had the numeric signature all over the bombing of the Shrine of the Golden Dome in Iraq. That was attributed falsely to Sunnis, by the way. It was done on 222. February 22nd, of course, strong Illuminatus master number there.
Yep.
The next day was 223. That's the Skull and Bones signature number played backwards, 322.
Right.
And the media obligingly announced that there were 111 dead people from reprisals.
Yeah.
So we had 222 the next day turning into 111, and in the background we've got 322 background backwards. So they're signing all over the place, and the new thing, and of course now, and we've been careful to make sure to label to the public that all this is caused by Al-Qaeda and Al-Zarqawi, which of course means automatically it's the CIA, MI5, or Mossad, or a combination thereof.
Yeah.
The new thing that's being promulgated is that we're going to have the Big Bang. Have you heard that one yet?
The new propaganda operation, psyopses.
Well, the Big Bang is the idea is there's going to be something even bigger. And we've got word that Al-Qaeda is planning something even bigger to cause civil war in Iraq. So I think that's the media's way of telling us we're going to have a civil war in Iraq. We know that because we're going to start it. We're going to blame it on Al-Qaeda to see if we can't strengthen your war on terror instincts, even as the war on Iraq is going down the gutter. And after all that, we'll blame it on the Iraqis for not having their crap together. And we'll tell them it's their fault we're pulling out.
And let's
They're not worthy of it.
And let's not forget that it was Prescott Bush who was behind the burning of the Rashback Fire in 1933 as another psyops operation that the Bush family have become famous for.
Well, you know, there's no business like the war business. Because there's nothing else on Earth that allows you to manufacture equipment with the idea of using it to destroy other equipment that you manufacture.
Yeah, and there's windfall profits associated with it. Huge windfall profits.
Oh, yes, it's the most profitable business on Earth. Always was. And I, you know, not to in any way diminish the nefarious evil of this criminal war that we've started based on criminal pretenses by mass homiciding our own people on 9-1-1 to get them in the mood for criminal war. But these kind of wars have been going on ever since the Iliad. You know, this is always the name of the game of war. Tell them you're going to fight for Helen of Troy.
Well,
the fact of the matter is you're going to fight for the spice routes and the control of the nation.
Well, sure, one of our thoughts through Bread and Circus's shows. Absolutely. The Bread and Circus shows of Rome. As you said at the beginning, the United States is a Roman Empire.
Right, and doesn't know it. You know, if we look at February, Lenny, I think that we did so much work with you leading up to the 1-3-1 prediction. And incidentally, our February 2nd conversation is something anyone can archive by simply clicking on Captain May on Google. I use Google. It's the easiest one to reference. It's my universal search engine. But we've talked about that for a while, and I think at this distance we can see that what happened in February, if I had to write a book, and God willing, one day I might. I would call February the February fallout because all the Bush plans seem to have wound up shipwrecked in February. And if you listen to the mainstream media, there's no explanation for it. But the explanation is quite apparent to me, and I suspect to you.
Yeah.
And it's that Bush needed a nuclear 9/11 on January 31st and didn't get it. And right now, Texas City is sufficiently alarmed that he's not going to get it. And it looks like Texas City, an oil suburb right out of Houston, Texas, you know, Bush's armpit, it looks like Texas City was not only the primary, but by great lengths the primary. And right now I doubt the secondary, whatever secondary target it is going to be willing to go along with the game. Remember, these are always inside deals. There's always local people making fortunes who are enabling these things, just as there is always a federal military exercise going on to give cover for performing these things.
Well,
we need these various components.
Absolutely, and you've connected the dots from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, New York City, New York, Texas City, Texas.
Don't you just love these skull and bones types?
That's
crazy, but once you figure out how they work, man, they've got an M.O. It's the method of the madness.
Yeah, they never
there
change.
There is method to their madness. I guess that'd be the whole essence of what we do, and we do this, what most people would call this InfoWar esoterica. That sounds too crazy. It sounds like you're playing InfoWar with decoder rings. But in essence, you are.
We're the internet.
If you see an 11-22-33 or a 9, man, that's a decoder ring symbol.
Yeah.
You know, the big picture, you might say, is written in numerology.
Exactly.
So right now, you know, why is it, and people say, well, why don't they quit using it? Why don't they stop? If you figured it out and it's true, if people like you and Lenny Blue and other folks who have done this are right, then why would they still sign their signature? And the answer is because they have to have their code. They have to have it such that when on 222 they blow up the Golden Shrine to start a civil war in Iraq, everybody who's inside on their plans understands it.
It's their natural. It's their natural vanity forces them to have to put their signature there. They can't stand to do something creative and not get credit for it. Twisted mind. They have to put a signature on it.
But we underestimate them. It's not just vanity that makes them use it. You know, encrypted signals are a standard part of operations in the military, all the way to squad level, man. The first thing you learn to be before you pick up a radio when you're running an infantry squad is you learn to be someone who can use an encryption log, an encryption manual.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't communicate in the open in war.
Right.
The most of all possible rules.
Right.
So when they have a 222 attack, and then the next day is 223, the skull and bones number backwards, and they report 111 dead bodies, man, that's like them writing it in big red letters for everybody who knows how to read it. And they don't care. A few people like you and me have picked up on it for the most part, because they have many people that they are coordinating with this universal language they have, this language of numbers. And that kind of thing is behind the usage of, and parallelism, like the Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Texas City, Texas, New York City, New York. These are their markers. It's like, Lenny, I'm sure there are times that you can hear a poem going through your head that you had to memorize in, you know, sixth grade. But you memorized it because it had metronomy and rhyme.
Yeah.
You know, it had meter and rhyme. Those are called mnemonic devices. They help you remember. Well, you and I can sit down, Lenny, since we've kind of been broken the embedded code, we can sit down and talk about the events of the InfoWar and really keep it amazingly straight because we know the events. They all have the mnemonic devices of the code.
Exactly.
So, let's take, for example, three missions that you and I have been involved in. The first one was before I started interviewing with you. And Sherman, by the way, about Baghdad. I hope he's doing well. Sherman, if you're listening, get well, man. The Madrid 3/11/2004 attack. Every time they have a foreign attack that's a precursor to an attempt on the U.S., Madrid was on 3/11. We predicted 3/31 for the next attack on 3/12. The attack came on 3/30/2004. So a 3/11 attack turned into a 3/30 U.S. attempt at an attack. By the way, folks, what they did is they blew up Texas City's British Petroleum refinery to give themselves an abort code that everyone recognized. The same way, a year and a half later, we had the London 7/7 attacks. And Ghost Troop had already predicted a 7/27 attempt on the Houston area. So after the 7/7 attacks, another 3 weeks go by, and you have the 7/28 British Petroleum Texas City, Texas explosion. This is 2005. So you see, 2004, a 3/11 attack in Madrid is a way of getting the American public ready psychologically for the nuclear attack on Texas City 3 weeks later. And then in 2005, the London 7/7 attack was a way of getting the public ready for a nuclear attack on the U.S. Remember, these were both attributed, Madrid and London were both attributed to Al-Qaeda, and before, during, and after the attacks, the media, which the media whores, were telling us it was time for us to get nuclear attacks. In the same way, they did it again this time, Lenny. They brought out the Bin Laden in the box tape on 119, January 19th, which of course is 9/11 backwards, and then 2 weeks later, they tried to bust Texas City. And even earlier than that, on 11/9, November the 9th, they had the Amman Jordan bombings. 11/9 being 9/11 backwards, too. They always work in these numeric signals, and they try to tie things together. So before the 3/30/2004 attempt on Texas City, we have a 3/11 precursor. Before the 7/28 attempt on Texas City, we have a 7/7 precursor. Before the 1/3/1 attack on Texas City, which they were trying to set up just a few weeks ago, we have a 11/9 precursor and then a 1/19 precursor, both of which dates are 9/11 backwards. They can't do it without this, because to do it without this, it'd be like trying to say you're going to fight a fight, but you're going to close your eyes and shut your ears. You know, these are their communications meme. This is their mode. Or at least, to be more objective, this is the one communication mode that I've been able to break and that other people I know have been able to break to the extent that we can talk about it. Now, I think the thing that makes Ghost Troop work a little bit unique, and we work with you as an individual.
But before working with us, remember that I identified 4-3, which is 3-2-2 as well. That was April 4th when I saved the Golden Gate Bridge, and of course that's on Cloak and Dagger. The Maybell Schwarzenegger wound up in Israel. So before I had touched base with you, that was in 4-3. I had done that in 4-3, remember, which was April 30th.
I was working at it. That's
pinpointed April 30th, and on the 29th of the month, I discovered a press release from the governor's mansion saying that the Coast Guard protection was withdrawn as of May 1. So
that's
immediately. Pardon me?
That's the MO.
And this press release was put out late at night at 3 in the morning so that it would be missed by the major media, by the night desks. It would be standing under brush and be there so bad on May 1 after the bridge was absolutely demolished by a terrorist team which was in the area. What would happen is they would be given the amber light. And they were given the amber light, and they didn't attack. And
you know,
and this was, of course, because the plan was discovered and put out on the 30th, of course, by, I wrote a column on Rents, and it went out on Rents with myself and my co-host Sherman Skolnick, and we stopped the attack on the bridge. And we recognized the 322 in the number 4-3. But the thing is this, that after you had been doing it in your area, I had been doing it in mine, and then, of course, we got together.
We've done it separately.
We then got together and did it on Texas City, Texas.
I would say this last mission that we ran, Ghost Troop, along with InfoWars, you being one of the foremost of us, and the foremost in working with me on the code, I would say the way we worked the code this time was the best I've ever seen it work. Well, look, we predicted a 1-3-1 attack on Texas City, and the morning after, 1-3-1 on 2-1, nuclear teams, whose whole purpose is to show up the morning after, were there. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, and of course,
right?
We've got that story on Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah, it's posted up there with your article. It's the Galveston County Daily News, the mainstream story.
Yeah.
Which basically the gist of it was nuclear teams were there. There had been rumors saying nuclear teams would be there. They said we were going to be blown up by the feds. But don't worry, folks. We asked the feds, and they assured us this was all coincidence, and no one was going to hurt us.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's amazing, Lenny. You know what it reminds me of?
It reminds me of Colonel Fletcher Pody's book, The Secret Team.
Well, that's true. But it also reminds me of something very basic and rudimentary. I've lived a very storied life, and part of the story is that I've lived in the inner city a lot. It reminds me of the way muggers work. You may have heard that a mugger knows if he's going to mug somebody the minute he makes eye contact. He knows it. And a mugger and the victim meet each other halfway. From the moment a mugger looks at the victim, the mugger knows he's going to mug the person because the person looks like they can be mugged.
Really?
At the exact same moment, the muggee consents to the mugging.
Really?
The mugger and the muggee meet halfway. The muggee is so scared that the muggee goes along with the mugger. Well, that's what you had at Texas City, where they are so cowed and intimidated by this thing, but they're sitting there making excuses of every possible description to avoid saying, my God, exactly the scenario that's been predicted around our ears is what came down.
Right.
It's so hard for people, and you know you can understand it, Lenny.
Yeah.
It's so hard for people to accept that their whole worldview is based on lies.
Right.
That the greatest of all premises, which is that the government loves us and protects us, is false. That it's Big Brother. That, you know, that there is no Eurasian or East Asian bombing attack on London. You went back to the Orwellian thing. That the London government, Oceania, is doing it to Oceania to keep Oceania in the war with Eurasia and East Asia. And East Asia and Eurasia are doing the same thing. Again, we're going back to the Orwellian construct.
Well, you don't have to use that. It's the world state battling with the nation state, the centralized authority realm trying to battle with the decentralized nation state.
That's true enough. Well, there's one thing that's clear.
The enemy of the aristocracy is the nation state. The nation state is the enemy of the aristocracy and the monarchy.
Yeah, that's exactly how they see it. And that's how they look at it. You know, shifting over to the Middle East for a minute, it's pretty clear to me at this point who won the Middle East war. You know who?
The people.
Russia. Since the failure of the Texas City mission on 1-3-1, again, the February fallout theory?
Yes.
Remember, the February fallout theory was supposed to be Texas City glowing in the dark and George Bush saying, oh my God, I love Texas so much, let's go kill Muslims. But instead, what it turned into was a political fallout because everything Bush planned fell out from under his feet because Texas City was the basis upon which it was all premised. Since that Texas City abort of 1-3-1, what we've had is Russia recognizing or being close to recognizing Hamas, inviting them out for diplomatic talks.
Right.
And Russia has cozied up to Iran, saying it would process its uranium and whatnot. So Russia, which we have to understand, is a centuries-long aspirant for the control of warm water ports and resources in the Muslim Middle East. It looks like right now, in proportion to the degree that we have blown our criminal war, and in proportion to the degree that we have caused ourselves to be odious beyond description in the eyes of the Muslims, just in proportion to that, the Russians are going to finally seem like good guys to these people. So I expect that you're going to see Russia, and I'd be very surprised if you didn't see China, starting to move in as opponents, oppositional forces in the Middle East. It wound up, by the way, being for the best. Had it not been for George Bush's desire to start World War III over there, candidly being involved in realpolitik, I wouldn't have had any problem if we'd had better relations and military relations with these people.
It certainly is prophetic.
What?
It certainly is prophetic, taking place on time.
Well, it's all come around, and again, I started out this interview talking about dear Professor Gunther, rest in peace. He died a year ago, my mentor in the InfoWar. He was the one who taught me that it all came around. In fact, the whole theory that's dear to Ghost Troop's mindset, and I know yours too, is that this is a Fourth Reich built to have a Third World War. And I got to say, I never would have gotten to that conclusion so quickly if I hadn't been a student of a former Wehrmacht officer who knew very well how they set up the Third Reich to have the Second World War. I can't tell you how many times Dr. Gunther used to tell me, you have such a hard time, Captain May, understanding what's going on, and I know why that is. It's because you're seeing it for the first time. But me, I'm seeing it for the second.
Well, thanks and hats off to Daniel for telling us about the 10 toes made of Marley Clay and Iron Matter Man. What a great runner he was. Stenographer.
Well, the 10 toes of clay are right now for standing inside.
Neither one nor the other.
Well, right now you have the toes and you also have the cement surrounding them. Bush thought that he would get us into the Middle East and he would use that as a launching base for World War III, and now it looks like what's happened, and we've just wound up in the Middle East. So again, Al-Qaeda is going to be the cause of our failure in Iraq, just like Al-Qaeda was the cause of our getting into Iraq, because Al-Qaeda, you know, Hegel had a wonderful saying about God. He said, people conceive of God as being this kind of metaphysical cesspool, whatever doesn't make sense becomes God. And that's what Al-Qaeda is. Whatever it is in the world that doesn't fit, Al-Qaeda becomes the factor X that makes it fit. So right now, we had to go to Iraq because we said Al-Qaeda, and now we're going to have to get out of Iraq because we say Al-Qaeda. And I wouldn't be surprised at this point, given that Bush has, you know, the UAE, the United Arab Emirates port deal, that's clearly a geostrategic realignment. We wanted to get some land, air, and sea resources for World War III that we were getting ready to start, and we never thought, we meaning the government, never thought this would even be public. Because remember, the big issue of early February was going to be that Texas City was glowing in the dark and Bush was heartbroken and wanted to get even. So now what we have is we have an even greater need to have the UAE deal, which is that we're going to have to leave Iraq, and we need to have some kind of logistical staging area in the region. So given that all that's necessary, but given that it's impossible to get the American public, which has been programmed for 5 years now to hate Arabs, to go along with the idea that making an alliance with Arabs is a good idea, I wouldn't be surprised to see Al-Qaeda make us make deals with UAE now.
Well, I got to run. I think we've had a great session here. We got to just wrap it up.
Lenny, it's always a great pleasure talking to you. Again, my best to Sherman and to all the fine people who have backed Ghost Troop and spread our message and our alerts around. I can't say thank you enough. You've been central. This whole Internet info war medium that I think you have pioneered, Lenny, and that I've been very fortunate to be able to plug into through you, I think it's been one of the decisive factors. We are the new extension of technology into warfare, and in some ways the best ever made, because if we do our job right, we win an info war battle or an info war overall, and we stop real battles and real wars from happening. So, from the belly of the beast in Houston, Texas, this is Ghost Troop Captain May, signing out.
Well, thanks very much, Captain May, and I just think I'll sign off with a famous saying of one of the greatest presidents of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. You can fool some of the people all of the time, and you can fool all of the... I'm going to cut this and start again, okay? Abraham Lincoln, who said, you can fool some of the people all of the time, and all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Read it yourself instead of asking the government why, because that will cause the propaganda to die. See you again next week, Captain May.
See you all, folks.